As you're being seated there and you find your place, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn with us to the Gospel of John, chapter number 6. Gospel of John, chapter number 6 this morning, and we'll be there momentarily. And I had a lot of notes for this morning, and I had to split them into a message that we'll look at next week, but this is the first thought that the Lord gave me and the one that I thought would be helpful for us here this morning. And, you know, as people go throughout life, they start to think and believe that if God is going to do something great, if God is going to use them, if God is going to do anything with them or with their life, that God has to begin with something great. And we imagine that God, rightly or wrongly, we imagine sometimes that God only uses the gifted, that he only uses the strong or the wealthy or the polished or the well-known. But all throughout the Bible, as we read the Bible, that we see very quickly that the Lord delights in taking the small things. He delights in taking little things, and he delights in taking unlikely people and using them for his honor and his glory. And he delights in taking not necessarily the gifted or the strong or the wealthy or the polished or the well-known, but he takes pride in taking people who take their lives and they surrender them to God and God's will for their life. That's what he takes delight in this morning. And he takes those ones who they take their lives and they surrender them to God, and he uses them for his honor and his glory. And that's exactly what we find here in John chapter 6 this morning. We find a great multitude is following Jesus. The day is wearing on. It's perhaps even coming to end of day. Things are closing down. And we find that the people are hungry. The disciples, we find, are overwhelmed. And the need is greater than the resources. And perhaps you can relate to that this morning. Perhaps you can remember a time in your life where you had needs and things that had to be accomplished, and you just didn't have the resources to accomplish them. Whether it was a bill that needed to be paid that you didn't know where the money was going to come from, or a health situation, or whatever the case is, you fill in the blank. And that's where we are in John chapter 6 this morning. The need is greater than the resources. And humanly speaking, the situation is impossible. But then in the middle of all that impossibility, in the middle of a situation where there seems to be no resources, we find that there is a little boy with a little lunch. And what made the difference was not how much he had. What made the difference was whose hands that it got into. And that little truth is still relevant and true for us today. Because somebody, they might say, well, I don't have much talent. And that may be true. You might not have much talent this morning. Somebody else might say, well, I don't have much education. And that might be true. You might not be well educated. Somebody else might say, well, I don't have much money. And that might be true as well this morning. You might not have much in the terms of money. Somebody else might say, I don't have much ability. And that may be true. Somebody else says, well, at the end of the day, I'm just ordinary. And that may be true as well. You might just be an ordinary, regular, everyday person. But the lesson of John chapter 6 this morning is this, is that a little in our hands stays little. But when we take what little we have and we place it into the hands of God, and we place it into the hands of Jesus, then that little can become more than enough. And so you found your place there, John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and notice there, if you would, we'll begin at verse number 1 down through verse number 14. The Bible says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. I want you to keep this in the back of your mind. That 5,000 were just the men. It does not take into account possible wives. It does not take into account possible children. All we know is that there were 5,000 men. And so the number could have been pushing. If you just double, if every man here had a wife, now you're talking about 10,000. If each family had a kid, well, now you're talking 15,000. And so the point is, there were many people and very little food. That's the point of the story this morning. And Jesus, verse 11, took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. John chapter 6 this morning is one of the great chapters of the Gospel of John. Jesus has, up to this point, already been revealing his power publicly. He's gone from doing so privately to publicly. And great multitudes, we see that here in the scripture, they're now following him because they have seen the miracles that he's done for those that were sick. And his fame is now spreading throughout all the land. And his ministry is expanding. His power is being displayed. Now, verse number 4, and I want you to notice this, because it's a very important point, verse number 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And so we see here that the Passover, it was coming. It was near. And that's very important. It matters. Because the Passover is what reminded Israel of God's provision. It's what reminded Israel of God's deliverance. And here in John chapter 6, God, Jesus, is about to show again that he is the divine provider, that he does provide, that he does deliver. And later on in this same chapter, he would declare, I am the bread of life. And so this miracle is not just necessarily about feeding bodies. It's a sign that points men to Christ himself. That's what it's about, to show that he is who he said he was. And so before the miracle begins, notice what Jesus tells him in verse number 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And so Philip, like a normal person, he starts doing the math. And all of a sudden, the math isn't mathing. The math isn't adding up. And then Andrew, the brother, finds a boy with 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. There in verse number 9, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And so Christ asks, well, how are we going to feed them? Philip starts doing the math. Andrew says, this is small among so many. How are we going to feed them? And it's amazing that this is always how we seem to think. This is amazing how man always seems to think. Philip, he sees the cost. Andrew sees the crowd. The disciples see the lack. But guess what? Jesus already knew what he was going to do. You say, how do we know that? Notice verse number 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. I don't know about you, but I hate people who ask me a question and they already know the answer. You know, they ask the question, but they're just trying to see, well, what would you do in this situation? That's what Jesus was doing here. He was doing it, as the scripture says, to prove him. And tucked into this great miracle is a little lad who simply gave what he had. That's what I want to encourage us with this morning. The boy who gave his lunch. The boy who gave his lunch. There's 4 things I wanted to see this morning. Number 1, he possessed something small. He possessed something small. Notice again, verse number 9. The Bible says, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. The first thing that we learn here about this boy is what he had was small. He was not a disciple. He was not a preacher. He was not a leader in the crowd. He was just a boy. And his lunch, well, it was not very impressive if you know the customs of the day. 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, that was not a feast by any stretch of the imagination. It was a simple meal of a poor person. Barley was the bread of the common man. And this was not much in the eyes of men. But we can be thankful this morning, and we can praise God this morning, that the Lord does not despise little things. In fact, Zechariah 4:10, the Bible says, despise not the day of small things. You know, everything throughout history starts small. When we were born, we start small. As we grow, our life starts small. We grow up into a teenager, and that we go to high school and college, and then we get married, and now we're in marriage, and now our marriage is small and new, and our life is small. It's all small. Many believers this morning disqualify themselves because they think what they have is too small. Well, my voice is too small. My ability is too small. My resources are too small. My influence is too small. My life is too ordinary. But listen this morning, God never asked us what we do not have or for what we do not have. He never asks us for what we do not have. He asks us for what we do have. Exodus 4:1-2, to Moses, he said, what is that in thine hand? And that's what he asks of every believer today. Well, what do you have in your hand that I can use? Moses had a rod. David had a sling. The widow had a little oil. The lad had a little lunch. And the issue this morning is not whether it's great in your eyes. The issue is whether are you making it available to God? Are you willing to, whatever it is you have, give it to God? Whatever it is you have, are you willing to put it into the hands of God.
Think about a single match this morning. You take it out of a matchbook, you light the match, and by itself it looks insignificant. You could hold it in your hand and laugh at how small it is. But if that match is struck, well, then it can light a candle. It can start a fire. It can brighten a room. It's not the size of the instrument that matters. It's the whether it can be used. And so here's the application this morning. Here's the truth. Quit focusing on what you do not have. That's where we run into trouble of thinking, God can never use me because I don't have A, B, and C. Meanwhile, we have A, B, and C of something else. And God can, if we give it to Him, He can use that. And so don't focus on what you don't have. Listen, you may not be able to do what somebody else can do. But God is not asking you for their gift. He is asking you for yours. He is not looking for your greatness. He's looking for your willingness. So many times we think we have to be great for God, and we forget He's already a great God. And all we have to do is be willing to let Him use us. We see He possessed something small. But then secondly this morning, we see He presented it in surrender. He presented it in surrender. He possessed something small. He presented it in surrender. The second thing we learn is that He did not just possess it. He presented it. Listen, the miracle, and this miracle in particular, it never happens, it never occurs, unless the boy is willing to let go of his lunch. Listen, the lunch belonged to him. It was his meal. The crowd was hungry. The day was long. It was just about over. The day was just about done. And common sense would have said, well, hold on to what is yours. You may need it later. And that's the way we sometimes think in our day and age today. Oh, I'm just going to hold on to it. I never know when I'm going to need it. But instead of clutching it and holding on to it, He surrendered it. And that is where many Christians stop short. Listen, we want God to bless us, but we don't want to release anything to Him. We want to keep it all in our hands. We want to keep it all under our control, but we don't want to give it to Him. And listen, as long as we're holding on to it, it's going to accomplish exactly as much as we can accomplish on our own. And that's very little. But if we give it to God, the possibilities are endless. We want God to use us, but we do not want to yield ourselves. We want God to do something great, but we still want to be in control. And this boy here teaches us that surrender is not measured by how much you give. It's measured by whether you really let it go into the Lord's hands. Listen, this boy here, he could have said, it's mine. It's too small to matter. It's not going to make any difference. There's too many people. He could have said, Philip did, what good is it among this many? But he gave it anyway. You know, a farmer may admire his seed while it's still in the bag. And he may look at that and think, man, when I plant this and put it in the ground, it's going to bring forth a great crop. He can count it, inspect it, be glad that he has it. But as long as he keeps it in the sack, it's never going to multiply. Seed only multiplies when it is released from the hand and put into the ground. And listen, this morning, some of us have been carrying around our lunch for years. Our talent, our testimony, our time, our treasure, our resources, our plans, our future. And God is not asking us merely to admire what we have. He is asking us to surrender it.
And so we see he presented it in surrender. And then thirdly this morning, we see it passed into the Savior's hands. Notice verse number 11. And Jesus took the loaves. This is where everything changes. And Jesus took the loaves. The lunch in the boy's hand was just that. It was just a lunch. And not much of one at that. The lunch in the disciples' eyes as they looked at it, it was a joke to them. But the lunch in Jesus' hands became the starting place of a miracle. The text here says, Jesus took the loaves. And when we think about that, what a really blessing that is and a statement it is, because the Lord, he took what was offered. He didn't reject it because it was too small. He didn't mock it because it seemed inadequate. He took it. And this is the difference maker in every life. It's not enough to just have something. It's not enough to just talk about surrender. The issue is whether what we have gets into the hands of Christ. And listen, we need to think about it a little further than that this morning. Listen, everybody knows here about the boy who gave his lunch. Everybody knows this story. But we also need to remember there's somebody that packed the lunch. Somebody paid for that lunch. Somebody prepared that lunch. Somebody protected that lunch. Somebody positioned that lunch. And that lunch did not just get there by accident. And that is how it is in the work of God. Before there's ever a John 6 moment, there's usually somebody God used behind the scenes. A pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, a bus worker, a faithful father, a praying mother, a godly family. Somebody who helped put that life in reach of Jesus. The boy may have been the one holding the lunch, but somebody helped him get to the place where he could hand it to Christ. And listen, that's still how the ministry works today. From a bus kid hearing the gospel to salvation and surrender, to Bible college, to ministry. Listen, there are difference makers all along the way. And I can say that even in my own life. You can say it in your life this morning. Thanking God for the people that he used to shape me and help me to where I am. Men like Pastor Hickernell or Brian Bennett, who led me to the Lord, who's now gone home to be with the Lord. Pastor Joe at Grace Independent in Darby. Kevin Moore, his family, who was the best man in my wedding. All throughout my life, God used these people in my life, and they were real difference makers. They helped pack the lunch, so to speak. They helped prepare it. They helped protect it. They helped position it. And because somebody was that for me, I have tried all of our ministry life to be that for somebody else. You know, I tell people all the time as we sit down and we talk and, you know, and listen, some people, they bring heavy things to us sometimes. They do. And you know, and all of us fall into this trap. We all think that we have to have the answer for every single thing that comes before us. And listen, let me tell you this morning, you don't have to have the answer for every single thing. Sometimes all people are looking for is somebody to listen and have an open ear and somebody they can come and talk to and, you know, and vent their frustrations and their burdens and unload and know at the end of that conversation that
I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You'll never know how much that can mean in somebody's life. Over the years, there have been people who box elder bug flying around here. But over the years, you know, there and you know, we've tried to be that for folks. My pastor tried to be that for folks. And over the years, you know, there have been folks who, you know, have gotten upset with us, mad at us, or cross with us, and things I did, didn't do, and you know, and could have quit years ago. Who needs that in their life? But we can thank God that there have been people in our life who can steady us, who can encourage us, and remind us to keep going. Because listen, this morning, somebody, listen, when you feel like throwing in the towel, just remind yourself there's somebody that must stay with people long enough to help them get their lunch into the hands of Jesus. Listen, there's somebody counting on you this morning, whether you know it or not. A violin in the hands of a child, it may make noise. They can try and play it all they want to, but unless they know it, all it is going to be noise. But that same violin in the hands of a master can make music. And the instrument's the same, but the hands make the difference. And so listen this morning, you can, and you might feel ordinary, but ordinary things become extraordinary things when the Lord takes them. And thank God for those people in our lives who help bring us to the place where we could be placed into His hands. He passed into the Savior's hands. And then fourthly and finally this morning, it produced a satisfying supply. It produced a satisfying supply. Notice verses 11 through 13. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise for the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. So we see here that once the lunch got in the hands of Jesus, it no longer remained merely what it had been. The Bible says here, Jesus, he gave thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and they, to them that were sat down. Then the scripture says, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. What a wonderful statement that is. They didn't have to take a nibble or a sample or a taste. It was an all-you-can-eat fish buffet. But as much as they would like. And then verse 12 says, when they were filled. When they were filled. Listen, Jesus didn't merely meet the need partially. He met it abundantly. And listen this morning, when Jesus meets your need and when God meets your need, he just doesn't do it halfway. He does it abundantly above all that you could think or ask. And after all had eaten, they gathered 12 baskets of fragments. The boy gave a little, and Jesus made it much. This is how the Lord works.
He takes strength, little strength, and gives grace. He takes little faith, and he does great things. He takes little resources, and he supplies abundantly. He takes little lives and uses them in ways we never imagined. The disciples, they saw scarcity, but Jesus supplied sufficiently. You know, a little stream coming down the mountain may not look like much where it begins, but by the time it travels on, it can water fields, refresh homes, and supply life far beyond its source. What begins small can become a blessing to many once it starts moving where God directs it. Do not despise what seems small in your life. A tract handed out may seem small. A prayer prayed in faith may seem small. A Sunday school lesson taught to a handful of children may seem small. A song sung for God's glory may seem small. A meal cooked, a visit made, a ride given, an encouraging word spoken. Listen, all of that may seem small in our eyes. It may seem small in the eyes of the world, but it is not small in the eyes of the one who matters. And once it gets into the hands of Christ, it can become more than enough. It produced a satisfying supply. And then I lied, fifthly and finally. It pointed men to a sovereign Savior. It pointed men to a sovereign Savior. Verse number 14. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, "This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world." The miracle did more than fill hungry stomachs. It pointed people to Jesus. And folks, this morning, that is always the ultimate purpose. And listen, this story is not really about the greatness of the boy. It's not really about the greatness of the lunch. It's about the greatness of Christ. Verse 14 says, "The men saw the miracle and said, 'This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world.'" In other words, the miracle magnified the Master. And that's why he performed miracles, to point back to Christ. And that is what God wants to do with every surrendered life. He wants to use it in such a way that people do not walk away talking about us. Because listen, it's not about us. It's never been about us. He wants them to walk away thinking and talking about him. And so the boy, he disappears from the scene. But Jesus is the one exalted. And that's what true ministry is. It's not look at me. It's look at him. It's not see what I did. It's see what Jesus can do. It's not admire the servant, but worship the Savior. You know, a sign on the side of the road is useful, but not because of itself, but because of what it points to. Listen, nobody stands and admires the sign forever. Boy, that's a pretty green paint. Nobody does that. The sign is there to direct attention elsewhere. The miracle was just that. The miracle was a sign. The boy's lunch was used, but the sign pointed to Christ. And so this morning, if God blesses your life, let it point men to Jesus.
If God uses your testimony, let it point men to Jesus. If God blesses your family, your class, your ministry, your service, let it point men to Jesus. The greatest thing that can be said of any life is that it brought people to a better view of Christ. It pointed men to a sovereign Savior. What a story we find here in John chapter 6 this morning. He possessed something small. He presented it in surrender. It passed into the Savior's hands. It produced a satisfying supply. It pointed men to a sovereign Savior. Listen, the miracle was never in the size of the lunch. The miracle was in the greatness of the Lord. And that is the message for all of us here today. Listen, you may feel small. You may feel ordinary. You may feel overlooked. And listen, we're going to see it next week. But if your Bible's still open there, if it's not, turn back there. John 6 again. Because this is the part where I didn't cover this, but we're going to look at it next week. John 6, verse 12. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Fragments, broken. Listen, where you may feel broken this morning. You may feel lost this morning. And Jesus says, gather them up so that they're not lost. You may feel broken. You may feel lost this morning. You may feel like what you have is not enough. But if you can get it into the hands of Jesus, it's enough for him to use. What's your lunch this morning? What do you have to give back to God this morning? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Let's stand together to our feet.